The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Are you looking for a change in your life? Are you dealing with stress, self-confidence issues, or health problems? Then tune in to the Dr. Brian Allman Show. Dr. Brian Allman is the CEO and founder of True Sage, a passionate facilitator with a PhD in psychology and an author of 14 books. He is one of the world's leading authorities in wellness and personal growth. He has significantly contributed to psychology, medicine, education, clinical research, wellness, parenting, business, and sports using knowledge of conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. So, if you are looking for free advice to help with your health and lifestyle, then leave it here on the Dr. Brian Allman Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Cohen, Dr. Brian Allman, and Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to a brand new show. I am so excited to have Dr. Brian Allman on the line, or actually in studio, thanks to Steve Cohen, No Bull Roadhouse, which will be coming up next. The intro kind of tells how it is. So let me ask you this. If you don't mind, I'll just call you Brian.
Fine.
Since I'm not sick.
You don't know it, though.
Yeah, well, there is that. Boy, more than you know. Right. What was your basis for this show? What is it that you're trying to get to the listeners out there?
Right. We're really focused on getting men free advice that will help them immediately and long term, because most men don't reach out for help. They don't do much. They just keep doing the same old thing. Right. So here we are offering free advice.
Right. And you do it in all avenues of health. It's not just like you're doing one form of it.
Right. Right. So the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, the ACE study, is in 120 countries. And my partner is the one that created it, Dr. Vincent Folletti. And I'm the treatment solution partner. Mm-hmm. So I developed the techniques, the strategy. Now, Steve Cohen, who is here with us in studio, knows all about this because I've done a lot of shows with him on TV.
Right.
And he said, what about guys? You know, we're helping all these women. Women have all these resources. Let's get a show just for guys.
Yeah.
So that was about 3 years ago. It took us 3 years to get to this moment right here, right now.
Well, Steve, what you know, being in the news for as many years as you have, what compelled you to keep inviting him back?
Well, I think it's very clear. You know, the life I lived in newsrooms for 50 years, constantly reporting on the aberrant behavior of men who have gone astray, as well as just men who are trying to find themselves.
Right.
And it was very clear to me that women have so many inputs. One, they're just better at talking to each other and self-examination than men are. And I said to Brian, look, you know, there's got to be a way to open up men. Maybe we could do a little bit of good by having a radio show where we just talk about, you know, open up.
Right.
Open up and find a way, because there are ways out there. And the doctor, of course, understands how the mechanism of how you reach people. All I am able to do is I'm an observer, and I've observed men. And I also think that men wind up in these cones of silence, David, where you can't cope, so you become silence and interior. And that doesn't get you the problem solved, and it creates a real issue. And that's why the doctor, good doctor, said, let's try it.
Right.
So that's what
we're
doing.
What do you got to lose? Because once, let's say you have an issue, but you don't want to talk to anybody about it, then it becomes psychological.
And then it becomes physical.
Right.
Because
even
your body,
worse.
Your stomach aches, your head aches, your back aches, all these things, you we'll go talk about, but the underlying issue is the emotional, how you raise, because all guys are raised with a handshake agreement that nice guys don't talk about difficult things.
That's true.
So we just don't talk about them.
Right.
We hold them in,
and
it becomes emotional, psychological, then physical, and then next thing you know, and we've actually correlated this with all the chronic diseases, even loss of years of life from not being on this kind of experience where you can learn.
Yeah. And what did your dad tell you? Toughen up?
Right.
Keep it to yourself?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
You don't know. And when you get, I don't know if we get that so much in the generations that we have had. Now, we do have a couple of guests in house, but yes, we'll talk about them first. But I kind of wanted to lay the groundwork. Now, you had mentioned to me, are we going to open up the phone lines? I don't want to open up the phone lines yet. I want our listeners to get used to you, get used to Steve, and understand the format. Because once we open up the lines, what I probably would have us do down the road is have them either text you and a question. Then that way you can look at the question and say, hey, Bill from so-and-so has a question about this.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, once you put them online, sometimes it takes away a little bit of the airtime. So I'm just bringing that to the
right,
to the table.
Right.
So what are some of the topics that you're going to bring to the show?
Well, stress management is huge.
Wow, and that's
self-confident the truth. Is amazingly important. Being able to deal with your relationships with women, mm-hmm. with guys, in your family, at work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, relationships are the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And if they're going bad, we feel bad.
Right.
If they're going good, we feel good.
Mm-hmm.
That's physically, mentally, emotionally. So I invited two women, two specific people that I know very well mm-hmm. from my work at Kaiser. And for my work in mindfulness, Diana Bishop, Olga Penn, because they are high quality, high integrity, know how to deal with men, know how to be supportive.
Right.
So they offer some great advice. So I really wanted to bring some women's
sure.
inputs besides Dave, besides yours, and besides Steve's and mine to really help guys get free advice from women as well as men.
Right. Well, and other than you, Steven, I don't know anything. Yeah, right? We're just rolling, and we deal with it the best way we can. And stress, I think there's not enough talk about stress and how to relieve stress. And it's not alcohol and drugs.
Right. Well, that is a temporary solution.
Yeah.
All of those, food, drugs, sex, all those are temporary. The problem is it never gets to the issue.
Right.
You just sort of go rushing to a fire, trying to put out the smoke. And you actually never get to the fire.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Bring big fans. Let's just blow the smoke away.
Exactly.
I think that I want to leap into this issue today for our topic today with our guests of relationships. I think that when you look at complexity, relationship is a really complex issue in terms of how we relate to ourselves, how we relate to our family and loved ones, and how we relate to others, and particularly significant others, like if you have a girlfriend or you're married.
Right.
I'd like to sort of get the perspective of both of your guests today, mm-hmm. Doctor, to get a sense of what is it that is confounding about a guy figuring out where he is in his relationship so that he can come to peace with it or recognize that he has a problem.
Right, exactly. So just before the show, a friend of mine who's in business, loves cars like you, Dave,
right,
very successful in business, said to me the most difficult challenge I've ever had, to Steve's point, is my relationship.
Sure.
This is the hardest project ever. It was easy to build a business, easy to rebuild a car.
Oh, absolutely.
But relationships are very difficult.
Well, because our guests, I can't wait till the next segment, their perception of a relationship is different than yours, mine, and Steve's of a relationship.
Right.
You know, and then, but if you're not communicating within that relationship, one's going to go one way and one's going to go the other.
Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult. But guys, to listen to themselves, to other guys, and to the people who really know, which are the women.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, there's no question.
And how many guys do you know that have been married 40, 50 years and can't stand their wives?
Right.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, right, Steve?
Well, I've had a few of them.
Me,
so
too.
I don't know.
Me, too. I totally get it. All right, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, we got a whole lot more with Dr. Brian Allman and his good buddy, Steve Cohen, right here on Free Advice for Men. Don't touch that dial. All right, folks. Welcome back to Dr. Brian Allman and Steve Cohen's radio show, talking free advice for men. We got Dr. Brian in the house along with Steve and his special guests. So, Doc, talk to us. Who are these lovely guests you brought in today?
Diana Bishop is a great woman that I have been working with for almost 3 decades at Kaiser Permanente, and started there when Dr. Fletty and I were getting the ACE study going, and has been an important part of that. And besides being an amazing partner in her relationship, she has a young son just graduating college or about to, and Diana is here. And Olga Penn, who I collaborate with, who is an expert in mindfulness and virtual reality and creating all kinds of creative ways for people to de-stress and get to know themselves, men, women, kids. So we have both of them here.
Okay.
And so, Diana, I want to ask you, what do guys need to know, and what are we doing wrong? What are we doing right? Give us a overall view of this, please, Diana.
It's so interesting. What do they need
a little bit
to
closer.
Know?
Yeah,
what
little
do they need to know? Where do you begin with that? That's
we don't have enough hours,
no,
right?
We do not. I as a mother of a son, and I really think that there's a different energy about raising a girl versus a boy or being, and I think their emotional needs are different. Mm-hmm. And so how you approach the whole thing as a female is being able to be clear on the nuances. How do you respond to things differently than women do? And there are clear pieces here. And in my work, I often think about it as translating so that, you know, there used to be that book. There was a book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or whatever.
Yeah.
But it is really an appreciation that we don't want to make women of men.
Right.
And we shouldn't have the expectations that men are going to behave like women.
Right.
And so honoring that and bringing out those strengths and learning as women to hear things differently, I think, is key. So my question kind of, the way you asked that question, Brian, I flipped it around. It's what women need to know about men.
Yeah.
Which I think is, for me, an easier way to approach it.
And I think the unique thing is, mama's boys are mama's boys, and daddies have their daughters. And I don't think men and women understand that, because men always want a son in the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taking the football, whatever the case may be. But in all honesty, it's flipped, because the boys seem to be more attracted to the mother, and the daughters seem to be more attracted to the men. Or am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I think it can vary from family to family,
for sure.
I think that if we're working as partners, the parents, that we want to be able to provide a balanced environment if we can. And
right.
So there are going to be times, and I've noticed this, especially I think it's easier for me because I only just have one child, so I'm kind of scope locked on that whole thing. But watching him as he's grown up, he comes in and out of being wanting to be close with me versus being close with his father. And it really has to do with stages of his development.
Right.
Personally, I think that's really what I've noticed over time.
And I think communication is 90% of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has to be comfortable enough to ask you about everything versus a daughter has to be comfortable enough, to talk to the mother or the father and to try to build that cohesiveness within a family.
Correct.
Is not the easiest thing to do.
It isn't. And it is, again, as an adult, you watch yourself having to go through this over again. Now, I came from a very a trauma-based family,
mm-hmm.
and so I had to relearn a whole lot of things, and it made it so much more difficult for me to be a parent initially. And then I kind of figured out because I was missing some skill sets from my own.
Well, where's that book that teaches you how to raise a child? I have been looking for years, and I can't find it.
Dr. Fletty and I are working on that right now.
Seriously.
Absolutely true.
Because these young families, Brendan included, you know, he's running on a wing and a prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he just happens to have a beautiful little baby and a very warm, considerate wife. And this is all new to Brendan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't even think he ever raised a puppy.
No. Well, you need a license to drive a car. You don't need a license to be a parent. So the training's coming.
Right.
I do want to bring it over to Olga in just a moment. And I just want to respond to what Diana said, which is so important. And what you added too, Dave, is the relationship between the boy and the mom is a good predictor of how the boy's going to do with women growing up.
Yes.
And how the, okay.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, she's crossing her fingers.
Right, okay.
You can only hope.
And so boys into men need to develop themselves as people mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. So, Olga, all your mindfulness work, what are you thinking about? What do guys need to learn to be effective in relationships? And what do they need to, like Diana said, unlearn and stop doing? What would you say to that, Olga?
It's a great question. I think it starts with our ability to just pause for a moment and check in with ourselves and really see how we're doing today, what's going on in our internal weather. So that ability to pause and take a look at the situation and make a better decision, a better choice, how you want to communicate back. Are you going to react or are you going to respond? This is the foundation of how we relate to ourselves and also the foundation of how we relate with others. And I think in that sense, men are not that different from women. There's a lot of difference in the sense how we're able to verbalize and connect with our internal feelings and emotions. In my experience, and I have been fortunate to work with boys 4 years of age and also with military veterans who have real trauma and saw a lot of pain in their lives. And I see the underlying need for both of these ages just to feel accepted, feel like they belong, and feel like they're loved. So it gets more difficult for men to get in touch with their emotions as the society and the parents and the social norms are telling them that you need to be strong, you need to step up, you have certain responsibilities. And it's very confusing in this day and age to see what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a strong man? How am I role changing with regards to women when women are taking on so much responsibility and this whole movement of female empowerment? So I would say for men, the practice that involves actually developing a better connection with themselves, befriending themselves, getting in touch with their emotions, and just being able to be still with it for a moment. This is the foundation of how they can start changing their relationships for the better with themselves and with people in their lives.
Go ahead.
I think that you have to look at where we are culturally as a society and how it affects men. And this is globally, not just in the United States, where there's this functionality that people have that says men are toxic. And we know that toxic masculinity is a very small part of who men are. Mm-hmm. There are men that are toxic, are toxic. There's just no question about it. But most men are not, and particularly young men. They go through life as though it just is going to unfold. There's no plan. There's no sense of purpose. So when you talk about this need to have a pause, to be in repose, so that you can collect thoughts or figure out where am I, it starts with where am I, and then it gets you to who am I. But neither of those functionalities are happening in most men. They're just living. They're just going on, and they're going on with no game plan. So I always like to encourage for guys to say, look, sit down and figure out what your philosophy is. Do you have a philosophy of life? Do you have a sense of purpose? Do you know what is meaningful to you? And when you sit, particularly with young men in their 20s, very hard to get those answers. I mean, because they just really haven't given it any consideration.
And who sits down and asks them that question? That's the key.
I do.
Exactly. But if they don't know about you, you know what I mean? They don't know who to go ask. And
but it's not. It's unfortunately, in my experience, I'm a father of three boys and a daughter, is that you find that these questions, these larger questions that can give guidance to men, are not being asked by their familial unit often, but by other units, such as coaches, teachers, and also peers. And right. that's probably the most dangerous one of all, because then you allow peer influence
yeah.
to infect what a, right. what a kid's saying. And, of course, we're all flawed. So as a parent,
oh, yeah.
I'm saying to myself, boy, I wish I had done that
yeah.
or I had that response.
Right.
But at the moment, you often don't. And actually, you can go through long periods as your boys are going through cycles, their own cycles, where you really can't get to them. They're almost impenetrable.
Right.
So we have to try to encourage, in the folks who are listening, particularly the women out there, we want to encourage our young men and our guys in relationships to be quiet, develop
right.
a plan.
Right.
What are you really thinking?
Yeah.
And go into this internal pursuit. Because the internal journey is ultimately the release to solving the guy's problem.
Right. Without a shadow of a doubt. And, you know, we're talking mainly about men, but there's toxic women, too. I just thought I'd throw that out there. We've known a few of them, right, Steve?
Yes. You know, one of the things we learned from tens of thousands of people in the studies is that it's actually better to have these questions asked by an inert mechanism like our app or online.
Right.
And the question would be, you know, when did you notice that your relationship life was going off the tracks?
Right.
What
right.
was that experience? And then following that, oh, it was when I was 14 or when I was 20, when I got married, whatever age it was. What impact
yeah.
has that had on your life since?
So, yeah.
And
make
then you
think.
Just listen.
Yeah, make them think and ask questions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Smart yeah. questions and then listen. But it's oftentimes better with inert mechanisms so they don't have to worry. What are you thinking of me when I tell you that? Are you going to shame me? Are you going to be
yeah.
judging me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to just say, me too? Oh, that's too bad. Just give me a chance to express.
Right.
And as Olga was saying, really get a chance to release it. And have an opportunity to figure out your own best yeah. answers.
Because you're not going to turn around and say, oh, well, then here's what you need to do because this is what's wrong with you.
No.
No, you can't do that.
No.
If anything, you just turn the light switch off.
Exactly. Because you don't really know.
Listen.
You don't really know.
No.
I oftentimes say to people, you know, I'm happy when I know the answers for myself.
Yeah.
So you don't want me to have the answers for you.
Right.
So I'm going to facilitate you discovering your own best answers with these very simple right. and intelligent questions
right.
that have been proven to work with hundreds of thousands of people.
But the problem is men won't come see you.
But they'll go to the app and they'll go online.
There
they will
go.
Search. That's what we
That's
find works the
key.
Best. It is.
The couch is gone. We bring other devices and other pieces of equipment in where somebody can sit in their room by themselves
right.
and either watch it, read it, or see it. And I got a sneaky feeling that has something to do with TrueSage.com.
Yes, that's exactly it.
What a flow in TrueSage.com.
Yes, thank you, Dave.
It's simple. It's easy.
It's proven.
It's proven.
Scientific. Right.
You don't have to get anybody else involved
right.
but yourself.
Right. Because ultimately, we do find our own best answers inside. They're just buried, like Olga
yeah.
was saying and Diana was saying. They're buried underneath all that emotion, all that
yeah.
trauma that we don't actually know how. But there are specific questions
right.
and techniques
yeah.
for people to find those answers inside.
And let's not talk about all the external stuff coming in on top of you mm-hmm. at exactly the same time. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come right back. You're listening to KCBQ AM 1170, Dr. Brian Allman and the Steve's Radio Show on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. Folks, hey, welcome back to the Dr. Brian Allman Show, along with Steve Cohen. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. We have two special guests, Diane Bishop and Olga Penn, with us. And we're going to kind of flip the topic a little bit, and we're going to talk about situations and ideas. So, Doc,
yeah.
take it away.
So, Diana and Olga. A guy is in a relationship, and he has one foot in and one foot out. He's not really sure what to do. Get married, kind of like Dave's story.
Right.
His dad taught him about what you do when you get married. he'll tell you that later. And or does he not and break up with somebody he likes, but he's not sure? So one foot in, one foot out, which is very typical male. It's hard for us to make decisions. And both is not the right answer in this situation. So what would you say? You have a guy, one of our listeners, one of our family members, one of our students. He has 1 foot in, 1 foot out in the relationship. What would you advise?
I think it's a very typical situation, especially now with so many dating apps and so many options how you can meet somebody in your life. And yeah, we are overloaded with information and having too many choices in our life. And it comes down to analysis paralysis. I like this person, but maybe there is somebody better waiting for me around the corner. Am I ready to commit? I have all these fears that come up as it relates to commitment. So in my practice, the strategies that I use, I always invite people just to really understand what their needs are, what they're looking for, and which ones of these needs are what I'm really looking for in life, safety, loyalty, trust, and which ones are fear-based, like a fear of being alone. In my experience, if a person cannot be alone, if it's a fearful state, then there is some more inner work they need to do. And from that space, you can take a look and see if you're if you have a good communication with your partner, what they're looking for, and are you aligned in your core values. Actually, what I've done in my relationship, and I've been on a beautiful journey. We've been doing 8 dates. For our listeners who are not familiar with this book, it's written by world's leading researchers of marriage and relationships. And it guides you through the series of 8 dates where you align on most fundamental topics in every relationship: money, family, dreams, sex, conflict. And it all starts with how you resolve conflict, because how we resolve conflict has a lot to do with how we were raised and how conflict was dealt with in our families. And this is where a lot of trauma starts coming into the picture. And this is the opportunity for us to really see each other. What our partner, like, you know, as it relates to growing up, what they dealt with, how it shaped them as a person as they are. And from that point, as we really start to see each other, we can see how we can form a better relationship and understand each other.
Can you do that without going into psychoanalytic methodology? Because it sounds so Freudian to me as you were talking about going back to how you were treated, how your parents treated you. And I asked the three of you here because I'm very interested in that from your perspective. Does it really relate to how you were raised in those early years, and that has an impact on everything that you've just discussed?
Let's find out from Diane, because I have a funny feeling she has the answer.
Well, absolutely. And I think that it's a skill set that we're making assumptions that, of course, people want to, you know, your situation was 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I think that we're making a lot of assumptions about what is going on in that person's mind. And do they actually have the skills to figure out how to maneuver in that situation? I think there's a lot of folks that just feel like, oh, I should know how to deal with this. I should be able to, you know, figure this out. I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. But indeed, what we know about trauma is that it alters brain function, and it requires a certain amount of extra support to help you. I keep using the word translation because folks that have had severe, and many have, trauma, and they're walking wounded, they don't know it. They just don't know it. And so in my particular situation, I'm in my second marriage, hopefully staying in there for the rest of my life. But interestingly, I would find someone as my second partner who has a higher ACE score than mine. Now, that requires a different piece of our conversation here. But really, the piece of this is that I think that we need to really allow people to understand that their upbringing has a significant impact on how they maneuver in the world, and it's biologically a piece of our, we don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. It's just a character flaw somehow. Oh, I had a bad childhood and I'm just destined to be in this bad situation. And
sometimes that's an excuse.
And it can be an excuse, but yeah. we're not understanding that there is a right. whole body situation with trauma that we are just starting to help people understand. And it really, if you don't have the connectors there because you've been traumatized, then we're asking people to do something they're not capable of doing in this moment.
Let me give you this.
Put some corners on what you mean for our audience of what you mean by traumatized. What you're talking about is emotional trauma that's physical. Not genetically derived, but is behavioristically derived.
I've got a great example. A very good friend of mine. He's in his 50s. His wife, him and him split up years ago. He met this lovely lady. He was just head over heels for her. And he was going to get married. He couldn't wait. And when he went to propose, she said no. And he goes, well, why not? He said, you have too much stuff. And he goes, what are you talking about? And he was in tears because his house looks like American Pickers. Okay, if you get my point. Yep. So him and I were talking, and I says, well, have you been to her house? And he goes, oh, yeah, many times. What's in her house? He says, absolutely nothing, just furniture. Well, then if she's telling you have too much stuff, that's a deal breaker for her. Isn't that kind of one of the things that could cause this?
Well, it's an interesting metaphor. I mean, we can say he's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
People come into this world with a whole lot of stuff, and it can physicalize. I mean, you can buy a bunch of things to... It's kind of like being a hoarder, too, which is...
Be nice now.
Well, I'm just saying, but it's, you know, in a way that Olga was speaking, we want to help allow people to feel trust and to understand their values and to take time. But these... I often have met people who have no clue. What would it be like to trust someone? What would that feel like? They've got no clue, and right. There's no language around it either. Right. So it's a great concept, but it frustrates people to no end, especially men. They feel like I should be able to master this, right? It's not something to be mastered. That's the issue.
Yeah. And when somebody says, oh, well, I really wanted to buy that motorcycle, but my wife won't let me. She won't let you.
Right.
Must not have had a conversation, you know, I mean, to me, I think that's not fair to tell somebody, yes, you can or no, you can't. What's your feeling on that?
Well, of course. But I would kind of question... Is that true or not true?
Aha.
Is that really true? Because yeah. I think it's an easy answer to say that, oh, the wife won't let me have it. Yeah. And it shuts it down.
Yeah. Right there. No more conversation.
Yeah.
Where does friendship fall in to this? Okay. Where's that on the list of things when you're looking at a partner? Because
friendship is very important for all of us. We are wired for connection. I'm quoting Brené Brown, one of my favorite researchers on shame and vulnerability, and it provides us with a very important support structure when we can be real, where we can be seen for who we are and what we're here to do. So what's actually been great seen these days is the rise of so-called men's circles. I think it started with women's circles when women would come together every month, twice a month, and share about some important events and feelings arising for them. And similar things started to happen for men as well, because men are also longing for connection, and they're also longing for sharing and, you know, to be able to be seen for who they are. And also speaking from the mindfulness perspectives, our friends is who we walk along this life and who support us no matter what. So I would say having good friends, either men or women, it really defines our ability to be happy. There's actually a lot of research that shows that people with a good support system, social circle, tend to be happier.
So you would think men should be able to have men friends and women should have women's friends. But I was speaking of the relationship with the woman you're going to be with. I think you should be more friends at first than anything. Everything else But being friends, I mean, like you kind of, maybe you don't necessarily do everything. For example, my wife raises Rottweilers and Dachshunds. Okay, I don't go to the dog shows because I have to stay home and take care of the dogs. I'm into motorsports. I go to the races. She doesn't go to the races. But it's not the end of the world because she understands and I understand. So, and I think that was part of the beginning of the relationship 24 years ago when we were, you know, we communicated and we made sure, hey, I'm into motorsports. And she goes, well, I'm into dogs, you know, even though we haven't been overnight together in 24 years, but that's another story. But I think that the communication, I think, is really important.
Communication is the key piece in the relationship. Yeah. And this is what makes or breaks a relationship.
Right.
I think being friends with your partner is as important as being lovers,
right?
As you know, being sharing similar hobbies and similar interests, mm-hmm. it is all the foundation of a strong, healthy relationship that's mm-hmm. going to last for a lifetime. And it's great that you and your significant other have different hobbies and you support each other,
right?
But yeah, communication is consistently the piece that I am seeing. Why people are not staying together is because of not having good communication.
Exactly.
And often it goes back to not having good communication with yourself. Sometimes mindfulness and yoga is called the art of communication because mm-hmm. it allows us to go inward and really connect with ourselves
right.
first.
Without a doubt. All right, we got to take one more break. See what I told you? How fast this goes. Folks, you're listening to Dr. Brian Allman and Steve Cohen radio show. Free advice for men on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. Welcome back to Dr. Brian Allman and Steve Cohen radio show. Free advice for men right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. Two absolutely lovely guests, Diane Bishop and Olga Penn. They're with us today. So, Dr. Brian, this is our last segment. Why don't you guys sort of take us to the checkered flag?
Okay. So, if we agree that communication is the key, then we're talking about asking questions and then listening with acceptance, right? So there's a lot of listening in communication. Communication isn't just talking, because if you're not listening, you're really not communicating. So asking intelligent questions, caring questions, questions you really want to know the answer to, and then getting that unconditional acceptance back. Diana?
Well, this is, let's be real. So I do this, I work in mental health for a living, been doing this all, you know, my whole adult life. In my home, my communication skills suck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being transparent here.
Sure.
Because my emotional connection is so much more intense at home. I have much more subjectivity at work, obviously. My investment is very different. And I still will revert to a childhood fear in confrontation. So the issue is I'm always trying to compensate for my fear factor mm-hmm. and thinking it through so much before I even come to my husband and say something. I'm going through it over and over and over again. And then when we do have something happen, I have a conversation, it gets heated up pretty darn quickly, and my professional skills go out the window. Mm-hmm. So I think what I've been working on, and as I've gotten older, it's gotten a lot better because my fear factor has gone down. We've been together for a longer period of time, and we understand even in the muck, we've been able to work through that muck. It was painful, but I think, and it was ugly because we didn't do it well, but we got through it and we've learned from it. So I'm sure Olga has a great way of what she wants to share about it as well.
And Diana, yeah. Did you own I'm in muck right now, I'm afraid, and share, like, here we are, communicate
this
about your muck, yes or no?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The two of us will go, you know, because we'll spin and replay a tape that's been played. We've been together 30 years.
How many?
together over 30 years.
Oh, you just started.
Yeah. Oh, well. but it's an interesting thing because that tape will get played again, and I've heard this thing so many times, and I'm thinking, all right, we got to figure out a way to maneuver differently with it. Yeah. And as we've gotten older, we've become more mindful, mm-hmm. I believe, and we're a lot more thoughtful mm-hmm. about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I would actually like to share a short mindfulness practice with our listeners that you can take away and use on a daily basis with a partner, with a friend, with any person in your life, really. And it's called mindful listening. How you practice it, you ask a question, and another person gets to speak for about 2 minutes or 3 minutes. You'll decide on the time. And what you do during this time, you just listen to whatever they have to say. And you really tune in into what they're saying without thinking about, oh, what I'm going to respond to this, or not analyzing anything, really releasing any control, just letting the other person communicate their feelings. And then for about a minute or so after they have finished, you can tell them back what you heard them saying. And then after that, you can ask them a follow-up question. Is there anything else? Is my understanding correct? And then you can reverse roles, and you will be talking about a particular situation for 3 minutes, and they will be listening. And there's some magic that happens in an act of selfless listening to another mm-hmm. person. It makes you feel accepted. It makes you feel understood. And this really creates a beautiful arena for when you can come together and find a common ground.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We've added a technique from the mindful listening, mindful communication from the ACE study that we use at True Sage, which is to actually do a role reversal.
Uh-huh.
You be me, I'll be you.
Yeah.
And let's have a conversation. You'll learn so much because you're actually her. She's you.
Yeah.
You go back and forth, usually within 3 or 4 minutes. Lots of light bulbs go on and lots of new understandings happen. So it's sort of mindfulness meets role reversal, role play, theater group. And women learn a lot. Us guys learn a tremendous amount. Wow, I didn't know that's what you felt till I actually pretended I was you.
But you got to be open enough to ask. You can't just think it's your way or no way.
No, that's the dead end.
That's the dead end.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you do. What you call it, the A test?
Yeah, the ACE test.
ACE test.
Adverse childhood experiences.
Ah.
And it was what Steve was referring to. So there's 10 questions. We actually have 12. We've added a couple in the last few years. We're finding out about our upbringings and what Diana's been talking about, if there's been trauma, stress, divorce in the family, alcoholism in the family,
right.
any kind of physical abuse, any
sure.
kind of sexual abuse. So you get a score, and based on your score, we are able to predict with over 100 medical studies, by the way, what kinds of emotional, mental, physical problems you're going to have years or decades later.
Wow. And so, can you do this without talking to a person?
You do it right on our app, right at True Sage. You could do it today. You could take the assessment
and
start getting
honest.
Solutions right away.
You could actually be honest.
Exactly.
How many times you go to the doctor and he says, are you drinking? Oh,
No, I'm fine. No, no.
That's beautiful because I think that's been the stumbling block. For self-help.
Right, but the fascinating part about that is that Dr. Flady and I actually thought that we knew a lot because we've been seeing people for so long.
You
we
should take that
love
test.
Love our work, right?
You should take that
we
test.
We did, and we actually did a video of our own adverse childhood
really?
Experience. We did. So what ended up happening is the real brilliant people were the participants, the members, the patients, the clients. They are the ones that taught us. We did a group for 4 years. Every week, everybody showed up every week to find out how has the system let you down? How has therapy let you down? How has medicine let you down? And we just listened, and they taught us what didn't work, and they also taught us what did work.
Yeah.
And that became a lot of the techniques in the True Sage approach.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that's where the brilliance came from, is the stakeholders. You know, the people who had the most at stake, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the women and the men.
Right.
Yeah.
And the help that you have done. See, I think that's the bonus for everybody concerned.
Right.
Because when somebody can see the light, and I'll use that as
right.
as an, you know, just an idea,
mm-hmm.
holy mackerel, it's like, I had no idea.
Right. People learn amazing things right away, right from the first experience, right after answering the questions.
Right.
So they can do it at TrueSage.com. And it's all online. It's in an app coming soon. So, yeah, 30 years later,
sure.
you know, it's all happening. And the ways that I met Diana and Olga is they actually also are helping people in their own work. Diana has her own practice. Olga has her own practice. And I want to make sure you both have a chance to say what you are doing now. And if people, in addition to going to TrueSage.com, TrueSage.com, and doing the ACE, and we also have a positive childhood experience assessment. Well, good things happen in your childhood
yeah.
that are influencing you years and decades later. So we added that about 2 years ago
wow.
also. And
so, Olga, yeah. if somebody wanted to come chat with you, how would they do that?
I can be found on LinkedIn, Olga Pin, also through my website, inwardvr.com.
Okay.
We are building a company in the mindfulness technology space that combines virtual reality and artificial intelligence for the next generation of tools for mental wellness and well-being. And in my experience, it is harder for men usually, typically, to sure. start their mindfulness practice. As an example, when Google first implemented their mindfulness program, engineers did not like it. It was too woo for them. It was a waste of time. It was not well received. So they repackaged it as a neurohacking and optimization for the mind. So the engineers and technical people came to improve their productivity and optimize their brain for better performance, and they stayed for mindfulness.
All right. So finally. So let's listen to the one that's stumbling at home. You got to take that test.
Well, doing better, though.
No, mm-hmm. of course I do. You know, I think it's important for people to hear that we're not perfect. We
right.
work, we're professionals.
Because everybody thinks doctors are.
That's what I'm trying to say, Dave.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So you can find me on LinkedIn as well, Diana Bishop, and also on Facebook, Walk with Coach Diana. So I do have a private coaching, health and wellness coaching business.
For men
so,
and women.
Oh, yeah. And I love...
How about kids?
Work with kids as well, work with young adults, but I do love working with the veteran families. That's,
yes.
We're a veteran home, and yeah. so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. that's phenomenal. Well, you know, a mechanic, all their cars don't run. The dentist, all their kids have rotten teeth, right? I mean, I'm not throwing stones, but, you know, for some reason, we don't take what we teach to our house for some reason.
It's not, yeah, I just think it's emotions that can get in our
yes,
way. So,
absolutely.
But we get better over time, right, Brian?
Right.
You're
right.
a much better partner now than you were when you started out.
Definitely,
right?
yeah. absolutely. So, I always say, Dave, when you need a helping hand, look at the end of your wrist.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
as Olga's saying, we have to really depend on ourselves, and it's okay to depend on the person that we're involved with, married to, living with,
yeah.
because that's fine. It's just you want to also be able to depend on yourself. Because it's not just about depending on another person, but that's okay. You can do both. Though usually the answer when it comes to building a healthy relationship is having a great relationship with yourself,
yeah.
which means you're listening
yes.
to your own needs and having a great relationship with the other person, because people want to be heard.
Yeah.
People want to feel loved, cared, understood, supported.
Yeah.
We don't have to say the right things. We have to really connect
right.
at a deep level, and it's easier than you think.
And for all you guys out there, you can go to TrueSage.com. There's nobody in the room but you. You don't have to spill your guts to anybody. All you got to do is take the test. Probably wouldn't hurt to have your better half with you as well. Make some fun out of it, because it sounds like that's where it's at. Dr. Almond, I can't thank you enough. Along with Diana and Olga, you guys have been fantastic. Again, you can look them up on LinkedIn and Facebook. Steve, you did another fantastic job
Great
bringing this
everybody
show.
Everybody here, I think we've got something that's really going to be worthwhile.
I do too. All right, we're going to have to take
Steve.
A quick break, but when we come back, no Bull Roadhouse. You better have your straps on and your helmet tight, because it's going to be a ride right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.